Tune in to KBOO on Thursday, December 31st at 8 p.m. for KBOO's New Year's Eve extravaganza. Join KBOO DJs as they bid 2020 goodbye and kick off the new year with positive vibes. You'll hear sets from Diablo, Top Dolla, Kabloom, and more. Again, that's KBOO's New Year's Eve extravaganza from Thursday, December 31st at 8 p.m. to Friday, January 1st at 5:30 a.m. Bring in the new year here with your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio, of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Amanda Hill, here with my co-host Jamie Partridge. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, hey Amanda.
Hey, how's it? Tonight we're going to talk with Beth Funch and Gabriel Vital, who are nurses at Providence Medical Center and members of the Oregon Nurses Association. We also have Gabriel Erbs with us, who is an organizer with the Oregon Nurses Association. Welcome to Labor Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Providence Health and Services is the largest healthcare system in Oregon and Southwest Washington, with 8 hospitals and dozens of clinics. And yet, here we are 9 months into a pandemic, and nurses are still struggling to get basic guarantees of proper personal protective equipment, testing, paid leave for COVID quarantine. As we understand it, Providence, despite its huge resources, is the only hospital in the Portland area without a written agreement to provide these critical COVID protections.
So Beth and Gabriel, tell us what it's been like working on the front lines of this pandemic. What are the dangers you've seen? Gabriel, if you want to start.
Sure. I work in the emergency department at PPMC, which is short for Providence Portland Medical Center. It's pretty difficult for me to complain about personal inconveniences because of the pandemic, because seeing patients every day always gives me a good perspective on my own life. It's painful to see patients who normally are pretty healthy, maybe just one or two comorbidities, are suddenly struck down by this illness. And that's pretty scary to me. I'm young and pretty healthy, and this pandemic has been a wake-up call that I'm no longer invincible, as I once thought I was. It is hard to see loved ones being told that they aren't allowed to visit somebody who's being admitted for COVID. And I've witnessed many goodbyes and love yous as patients are taken to their hospital room, but I don't know how many of those were for the last time.
And Beth, you work in the neuroscience unit, and I understand you saw the first positive case at your hospital?
Yeah, that's true, Amanda. My unit is a neuroscience unit, and our unit was chosen for inpatient care for the first COVID patients in last spring, partly because we have the ability to separate our air ventilation system from the rest of the hospital. It's called negative pressure. I can echo the things that Gabriel said about, you know, the care being really difficult because we don't have the ability to have visitors visit our patients. It's been rewarding as a nurse, but also pretty exhausting. You know, our patient population in the spring was a lot of older people from nursing homes, really frail elderly. And now we're seeing a lot more community spread among people with from diverse backgrounds, and a lot of poor people. So the social inequities in how and who this pandemic strikes are really glaringly obvious now. You know, I'll also add that there's been a low level of anxiety that as nurses we can become unwitting carriers and asymptomatic transmitters of the virus to other people. And, you know, it's a is a way to mess with a nurse, you know, to feel like, gosh, you might not just be providing care and comfort. You could be Typhoid Mary. And that's kind of worked on me a little bit, I got to say.
Yeah, so, I can imagine. We see that in the grocery store too, because we see so many people all day long, and our protections are very minimal. So, I mean, you guys are suited up and ready to go.
Have Providence nurses been infected infected due to Providence negligence? Either one of you jump in.
I can go first. I do not know for sure, but I would not be surprised. And the reason that we probably don't know is because our employer is very restrictive when it comes to testing employees. The testing and contact tracing system is inconsistent at best. I know for a fact that I have been exposed to patients who are COVID positive in the emergency department because we use a rapid test that comes back in about an hour. But I have yet to be notified for days or even weeks sometimes. And they don't notify you by phone, they notify you by email, on your work email, which if I'm not at work, I wouldn't check my work email. And when you are notified by Providence, they basically offer you three responses to the notification that essentially inquire what kind of contact you had with the patient. The first option is no contact. The second option is contact while wearing PPE, which is personal protective equipment, or three, close contact without PPE and the patient wasn't wearing a mask. If you have contact with the patient and you are wearing PPE, you will not receive benefits of workers' compensation because Providence does not consider this to be an exposure. Therefore, the only way to obtain workers' compensation is to essentially admit to not wearing the correct PPE, which makes you look reckless. Providence assumes that you contracted the virus out in public, despite the fact that some nurses on the COVID floors are working 40 or more hours a week performing direct care for known COVID positive patients. And one more thing to add on this is that I have friends that work for other large corporations who are COVID tested weekly. And I'd also like to point out that university football players are tested almost daily. And yet we work in Providence, in a Providence hospital with the most COVID patients in the entire state. And not once during this whole pandemic have I even been offered a test.
And you've had positive cases among the staff in the ER?
That's correct.
I know two nurses from the float pool who I'm friends with who have gotten COVID. And you know, most of us don't go anywhere other than work. You know, we send our significant others to the grocery store. I pick up groceries in a parking lot. You know, I wear an N95 and a shield into any store that I go to. And, you know, the two nurses that I know who got COVID had to burn all their vacation time and all their sick time and then recover at home unpaid. And this is one of the things that's been really frustrating for me to watch. There's not presumptive coverage. And it's pretty insulting to be told, well, you can't prove you got it at work, so we're not going to give you paid leave to recover from something that you, in most instances, contracted at work. You know, I do know one ICU nurse who was giving life-saving chest compressions to a patient when his shield broke and he was exposed to COVID and he was a patient on our floor and he got compensation, workers' comp, but only because he said that he, you know, there were others that witnessed his PPE fail. So, you know, I've also been on the floor this summer when we were notified, oh, that guy who was here for a stroke, well, turns out he's positive, so just shut his door. And you know, although I wasn't that assigned to that patient, you know, how we do our nursing is team-based care. And if I see a patient with a need, I go in that room, whether or not it's my patient. And it was 6 hours after that patient was first told by the nurse was first told that that patient was positive. 6 hours later, there was still not a notification of the staff that day in a consistent manner. You know, my boss is personally supportive, but I think that a lot of these policies are being made by people who aren't seeing the direct care that we're giving and aren't familiar with our work environment.
The notification of people who have been exposed, people on the staff, is slow. And what happens when someone is, when you are notified that you've been, you know, that one of your patients is positive or you have been exposed?
Well, twice, I can answer that, Jamie. Twice in the last 10 months, I was notified that one of our colleagues was positive. And, you know, for obvious privacy reasons, they don't give out the name of that person. And we'll get it in a work email, as Gabriel said. And you have to just be lucky to check your email. But we're not told, we're told that it would be too cumbersome to test an entire unit. And they assume that we're always wearing our PPE. Well, we've got to take our mask off to eat lunch. And, you know, we're not always able to separate from each other sufficiently because of the limitations in space. And we're told, oh, go eat in another room. And then sometimes those rooms are locked. So we're not told that they'll offer us testing. We're just told, call us if you feel sick. And, you know, twice I've had symptoms and stayed home and tested negative. And they tell us to come back to work when you don't have symptoms. And some of those recommendations are just 48 hours and they're not in line with CDC guidelines, especially, you know, it's just been kind of a changing levels of policies that we've had to adapt to and respond to in real time. And it can be confusing what the recent most best advice is.
Wow. Wait, are you talking about the CDC guidelines changing or your
hospital guidelines?
Yeah. I know among postal workers, which is the folks that I'm connected with, the most recent CDC guidelines were if you are within 6 feet of a person that is the test's positive for up to 15 minutes over a 24-hour period, which means you could be within 2 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes and then 2 minutes in the afternoon, 3 minutes in the afternoon, and you've been exposed and should quarantine. Are those the guidelines that you all are? And this is even if both of you have masks on.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
I would say, yes, that's what the CDC says, but Providence's policies for what an exposure is, it does not qualify as that, because if you're wearing all of the gear that they recommend that you wear, it's not considered an exposure. So you may have noticed that there are tents outside of many hospitals. The tent outside of Providence Portland Hospital in the emergency department has not fully been used for the months that it has been up. Many days they actually sit empty, mostly because we're unable to staff them. There's not enough nurses to work. And we've been using the tents for the emergency department almost only to have people sit in them as like an extra waiting room space in order to maintain 6 feet between people. And it's not unusual for the emergency room to be overcrowded with 20 to 40 patients in the lobby and 3 to 5 hour wait times. This is a problem that demonstrates how crowded our hospitals are and how understaffed we are, because admitted patients are being held in the ER while we wait for inpatient beds to open.
I'd like to add something else. I don't know if we could fit it in.
Sure, go ahead.
I want to call out the professionalism and the dedication of my team. I really value my colleagues and their contributions. We have a tough job right now, and we're really showing up for each other. And we're showing up for patients in a way that's really meaningful. You know, they can't have visitors, but we're creative about how we help them stay in touch with their families. And we use a lot of FaceTime, we use Google Duo, and we bring tablets into rooms so that families can talk with their loved ones. And we're able to stay with them. And when somebody's not doing well, I'm able to call on my colleagues and say, look, I need to stay in this room a little longer to give this person a human connection. Can you do X, Y, Z for somebody else? I don't want to give the impression that I am not noticing how individuals and how nurses are showing up for each other, and our resilience really amazes me. And, you know, that's why I keep going to work. It's because of my team. And, you know, to give excellent care to really poor people, many of whom, you know, they don't speak English. You know, we've had to get more interpreters than ever. And it really shows how public health understanding is really variable in our community. And, you know, I really feel like we need to do a much better job in Portland at reaching people of diverse backgrounds with really consistent public health messages. And, you know, there's work to be done for more equity.
Just tuned in. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and we're talking, this is Labor Radio, talking with Beth Funch and Gabriel Vitol with the Oregon Nurses Association at Providence Portland Medical Center, talking about nurses in COVID-19 struggle with Providence hospitals.
So what are you guys doing to change the protocol around the hospital? Are you working on a campaign to improve matters for yourself?
Yes, we are. You know, I became involved when there was an ONA unity break in October, and there was a simultaneous 15-minute show of support and gathering outside the hospital at, I think, 8 different Providence facilities throughout the Portland area. And it was an inspiring event for me, because I had been growing increasingly frustrated just talking with my colleagues about how we didn't feel protected. And we were frustrated that we weren't getting offered testing, and that our colleagues were expected to quarantine at home and be unpaid for exposures that we think may have happened at work. And, you know, it's good to finally see some people doing something productive, you know, and discussing things appropriately, trying to get Providence administration to negotiate with us for protections, written protections that a lot of people in other hospitals in different places in the nation already have. And because of the lack of negotiation to an understanding that the union got from administration, they moved forward with the new phase of the Protect People, Not Profits campaign. And it's a COVID Bill of Rights. So it's a general document outlining protections for nurses in terms of the policies around notifying us of exposure, consistent notification of exposure, and a written agreement on time off, and not even asking for hazard pay, just asking for the ability to recover at home if we have symptoms, so we don't come to work sick and endanger our colleagues and patients.
Now, Gabriel, when we were talking off before the show, you mentioned that you had been talking with people, getting cards, commitment cards signed. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about what you've been doing and how you've been doing it, how you've been organizing?
Sure. Part of the push, because we've been doing this for several months, was that we were wearing buttons, actually. Before the cards, we handed out buttons and that said protect people, not profits. So we'd wear those. And then we also did the Unity Breaks. And then after the Unity Breaks came the COVID Bill of Rights, which we then chose to do to show support for that by collecting signatures, essentially similar to a petition. But they are small letter-sized cards that describe basically that the person signing supports the Memorandum of Understanding, which is the COVID Bill of Rights that we've proposed to executives. It's essentially a show of force throughout all the Providence unionized facilities in Oregon, so not just Providence, Portland, but all of the hospitals. And clinics and home care, whoever's unionized with ONA. And so we're hoping to collect 75% of staff signatures by January, mid-January, I believe. So that's the goal.
We've gotten a tremendous response to these commitment cards and to a discussion among our colleagues of the Bill of Rights. People are really relieved that there's something practical and tangible that we're doing. We already have over 40% of the nurses in just a couple of weeks in our facility, and word is spreading to other Providence hospitals in the area, which have less COVID positive patients than we do. But you know, and people in other departments who don't directly care for COVID patients are shocked at the kind of stress that we're under. You know, we're having to do in intensive care level nursing, really serious patients with really serious conditions, you know, on medical surgical floors. And, you know, we've had some on the spot training, but, you know, we're really dealing with some very sick people needing a lot of oxygen and supportive care. And we're worried about safe staffing. And, you know, we shouldn't have to take care of more than three patients at a time. You know, in the intensive care unit, they have two patients per nurse. And, you know, we're really worried, especially on weekends, especially on Sundays in my unit, you know, that we're not going to have safe staffing. So that's another really important part of the COVID Bill of Rights that we're asking the administration to back us up on and really give us some real support and, you know, show us that we're part of the mission of Providence too.
So for our listeners that aren't aware, how many Providence hospitals have ONA representation? Do you know in Oregon?
All of the Providence hospitals in Oregon have nurse union representation.
And this campaign is moving in all those hospitals?
That's correct.
Fabulous.
Are you going to be working on to put pressure on them aside from your card campaign?
Well, we're organizing a really exciting activity coming up. You know, inside the hospitals, we're doing these commitment cards for with the COVID Bill of Rights. And we're organizing something called a care van. And it'll be nurses and other people in the community. We're partnering with Jobs with Justice, and we're going to have a caravan of cars, brightly decorated, doing a caravan between Providence Portland Medical Center on Gleason to the administration buildings that are near I-84 and Halsey Street, and then down Cesar Chavez Boulevard to Milwaukee Hospital. And then across the river to St. Vincent Hospital. And we're really excited to partner with them and to have a visible show of support for this campaign and just elevate the community's awareness of conditions for nurses in Portland.
So your campaign is called Protect People, Not Profits, but we thought Providence was a nonprofit.
Providence is one of the largest employers on the West Coast. It has hospitals in Oregon, California, Washington, and I believe Montana, and maybe Idaho as well, and definitely in Alaska. And it has about $12 billion in cash reserves, and they even operate their own for-profit investment company. And to add insult to injury, they do not pay income taxes.
Yeah, Providence received $509 million in government funds to help healthcare providers from going under during the coronavirus pandemic. And, you know, when we ask for testing, they tell us either the lab is too busy or it costs too much.
I'm so blown away by their cavalier attitude towards the health of the people that are providing healthcare. But it seems to be the way of the world in healthcare nowadays.
So how can the listeners plug in to your Caravan Action? When is it? Is there a Facebook page or a website?
Gabriel, can you answer that for us?
Yes. Listeners can take action by following the ONA Facebook page. That will have the most up-to-date information about location and time for the Caravan event. Details are still being worked out.
Yeah, I will add, Jamie, go ahead. As a community supporter for this campaign, mark your calendar for January 9th. And as Gabriel said, we will be putting out specific meeting locations and start times soon, but definitely mark that calendar January 9th. That's going to be a lot of fun and obviously really important work.
There's another event that's going to take place after the new year. Jobs with Justice is convening a workers' rights board featuring nurses testifying before community leaders and government officials, people from the faith communities, and regulatory agencies with influence over Providence policy. And we're really looking forward to coordinating with them.
And do we have a date for that yet?
No date yet.
No date.
Stay posted on the ONA page.
So ONA stands for the Oregon Nurses Association. And again, to be in touch about the car, or excuse me, the Caravan, January 9th, go to the Oregon Nurses Association Facebook page.
Another issue occurring in the hospital is that in the last month or so, managers have been increasingly aggressive towards ONA activities in the hospital. For example, all members wear a green ONA insignia on their badge at work that have their Weingarten rights printed on the back of them. Management has been telling nurses they are not allowed to wear them at work and must wear the Providence supplied logos. Also, stewards on COVID units have been told to stop circulating our commitment cards, and the manager on 8th floor was telling nurses they cannot talk about the Bill of Rights at work. These things are upsetting because it is illegal for management to do this, but the only people who can really do anything about it is the Oregon Nurses Association and their members, so it's up to us to report these things. We have to be smarter than our supervisors, unfortunately.
Most likely you are.
And then one more thing I wanted to add was that nurses have been voted the most trusted and ethical profession in America for the past 18 years. So we need the executives at Providence and the general public to trust us when we ask for help, because ultimately it will allow us to provide better care for our patients. If we can't take care of ourselves, how can we be expected to care for others?
I just want to thank both of you for going to work every day. It's got to be really hard. My father passed away at the beginning of the summer from COVID at the Legacy Hospital at Salmon Creek, and we weren't able to go see him at all. And the fact that there are nurses like you engaged with family members on the phone and Zoom calls for these patients is awesome. Thank you.
That wraps it up for Labor Radio this Monday and every Monday at 6 o'clock on KBOO Portland. You've been listening to Beth Funch and Gabriel Vital, who are nurses with the Oregon Nurses Association at Providence Portland Medical Center.